Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd love for you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about promise number 3 of the New Covenant today. There's 4 promises. We're on promise number 3. It's recorded for us in Hebrews 8, verse 11. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. What's this promise all about, guys? What is the writer of Hebrews getting at when he says that we can all know the Lord, from the least of us to the greatest of us?
Well, I just think, you know, Bob, it seems like there's probably, with thousands of listeners out there, there's got to be some folks who feel like, well, you know, I'm not a master theologian. I don't spend hours a day reading the Bible. I can't tell you a lot of scripture verses from memory. And so I just don't know. I kind of feel like the black sheep in God's family or something. I feel like a second-class citizen in the kingdom. And, you know, what we're talking about here is really just life breathing to each and every person who's in Christ. The idea is, it's not about facts and figures. It's not just about some lifeless doctrine and your knowledge of it. No, it's knowledge of a person. It's intimate knowledge of a person. It's like if you're married, you know your husband or you know your wife, and that's a personal knowledge of them. Sure, you can spout off some facts about them, but you also know them. And, you know, innately, because we are born of the God Spirit, well, innately, we have a knowledge of who He is. It's almost like it's within our DNA to say, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that Jesus is good toward me. And and there's something built in as believers that just draws us to an understanding of the Lord.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, how is this different than what was done in the Old Covenant, that covenant between God and the people of Israel?
Well, under the Old Covenant, God was out there. The closest you could get to God was to see his glory shining out of the tabernacle, having the cloud there during the day and the pillar of fire by night. And you could look on this representation, but it wasn't part of you, not in the way that he's promising here. So the relationship with God was a relationship other than. And now God has initiated relationship into us, and now this relationship is based on an innate, I like the way he put it, it's almost DNA level relationship, and it does change everything.
Yes, indeed. So what did they know about God in that Old Covenant? What did the people of Israel know? If they didn't have a personal relationship with him, what kind of information did they have, and how was it passed on?
Well, it was passed on word of mouth and in certain writings. They only knew what God revealed to them. First of all was overwhelming power. When he initiated that covenant with them, he said things like, I'm drawing a line around this mountain. There's a fence there. There's the police line. Don't cross. If any of you, if any animal that belongs to you, if anything in the whole world crosses that line, they will die. So I am all powerful. You are not. You must obey me. At other times, when Moses went up and said, Lord God, I need to know who you are. And he described himself as merciful and long-suffering and slow to anger and all of that kind of thing. And so there was this give and take that God was at one time the loving, protecting, one true God, and at the other time the source of judgment. And even though both of those were true, both of them were outside of the people, and they, because they couldn't internalize it, of course they immediately jumped to the presumption that God's going to hack me off. I mean, he's just going to cut my arms off, and then he's going to cut my head off, and he's going to play soccer with it. And that caused them to break the covenant because they misunderstood.
Yes, indeed.
And the miracle of the Old Testament is that God, in spite of their breaking the covenant, maintained them as a people. He said, I'm not taking you into the promised land because you're so great, because you're stiff-necked. I'm taking you in because I promised, and I'm going to bring the Messiah through you because I promised. And so everything in the Old Testament is God telling them what he's going to do and them going, well, I don't get it. And now in the New Testament or the New Covenant, God is saying to us, here's what I'm going to initiate into you and through you, and we get to go, wow.
Yeah. It's in that Old Covenant, there was this fear. The people were scared to death of God. They didn't want to draw near. They wanted to hang back. They wanted Moses to speak to them. Just tell me what we need to know. Tell me what we need to do, and we'll be fine with that. And they didn't want to get near to God. But in this new covenant, the door has been swung wide open, and God says this, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God actually is saying, come in, get to know me, because I already know you. That's what this promise is all about. Yeah. That's why this new covenant is so exciting to be a part and to experience in day-to-day life.
And you found Basic Gospel on your radio dial, everybody. We appreciate you joining us. We have plenty of open lines. Time on the clock as well, 1-800-677-9377. Come on in. Join the conversation, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Providence, Rhode Island, and talk with Nathaniel, listening to us on WARV. Hi, Nathaniel.
Greetings, guys. And I think it was yesterday there was a caller who had mentioned about Providence, Rhode Island, and how a certain magazine had listed Providence as the number one most biblically, least biblically minded city in America, along with some other place in Massachusetts. And I can tell you guys from personal experience that Providence is it's an evil city, and I had read in Revelation how it says that the cities of the nations are going to fall, and I'm asking for help because my situation in Providence is not pleasant, and I could use some Southern hospitality, and I heard that Chattanooga, Tennessee is the number one most biblically-minded city place. So I'm trying to get out of Providence, and I'm a poor man. I don't have money, but I do have the Lord is on my side. So I'm asking for prayer and even practical help if people can help me to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee or someplace else.
You know, one thing that occurs to me is, you know, what I'm hearing you want to do is escape a circumstance there in Providence. And I don't know. I mean, my first thought is, my friend, that, you know, your hope is not in geography and your hope is not in your surroundings. And, you know, I'm sure that there's a church or two in Providence, at least, that have a group of believers in it. And I don't know if you've connected with any body of believers, but I would hate to see you pick up and move across the country to change your geography when your spiritual geography is what matters most. And you've got a rock solid place to live in Christ, and He is your life. And you think about the early church. I mean, they lived in Corinth, some of them. Corinth, Greece was like Vegas times 10. And then you look at Galatia and Philippi and Colossae and a lot of these places. They were just full of worship of other gods and idol worship and temples and things that certainly are far out of the lines of what the Bible's talking about. And yet the church was able to thrive because of the contrast. You know, the contrast is really interesting. And sometimes just you being called out as a saint in the midst of sinners, that can say a lot to the people around you. So I'm not saying that it's not in the cards for you to move, But I'm just saying, you know, consider the fact that geography is not your hope and that Jesus Christ is your real hope.
Thank you. And I'd like to invite you to Providence. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a tour.
Well, sure. I was in Providence a couple of summers ago, and it's an absolutely beautiful city. But here's what I want to encourage you to do, Nathaniel. God knows the needs of your heart. He knows that you need fellowship, that you need to rub shoulders with other like-minded believers, and trust him to bring those people into your life. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a church at some address there in Providence. It could be just friends that God brings your way that encourage you, that you can encourage them. But trust him to do that, and he will meet that need. He's promised to meet that need. He doesn't want you to be isolated and alone. He saved you. He placed you into his body. And there are other members of his body right there in Providence. And so trust him.
Are you sure about that?
Well, Nathaniel, it's kind of like Elijah the prophet saying, Lord, I'm the only one. And the Lord says, no, there's 7,000 others who haven't bowed the knee. And sometimes we do feel all alone. Sometimes we do feel isolated. Sometimes we do feel like there's no one else. But God knows. And he knows who are his, and he will make those connections. So trust him to do it, okay?
And let's put Nathaniel on hold and let our operator get some information.
Yes, indeed. You hang on, Nathaniel.
Yes, indeed. Well, you found Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Well, let's go down to Corpus Christi, Texas, and we'll talk to George. Hi, George.
Hey there. How you doing there, brothers?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, I used to call in when Bob George was on.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I got busy working and everything and haven't called since, but now I'm calling even a different titled show now.
Yeah, we changed the name just to, we had That's some good. Issues with the other names from legal trade rights, trademarks, and that
right,
sort of
right.
thing. So we yeah. found a name that I think really reflects what we do. It's just about the basic gospel, so.
Well, you know, talk about the name of the show, Bob. There, it's hard to find a place that preaches the basic gospel. You know, I'm attending a church down here they're off and gone on Calvinism, John Calvin, Calvinism, to me, it sounds like a religion. You know, I used to be a Catholic. I came out of Catholicism, and to me, the isms, that's why it's not called Christianism. It's called Christianity. I was wanting to see what you thought about
Calvinism.
Calvinism, yeah, you got some pretty far-fetched doctrines and
well, Calvin was a theologian. I think in the 1500s he was part of that
right.
Protestant right. Reformation. He wrote a lot of information that theologians have gone back and studied, and they've this is what we do. We try to reduce things down and come up with bullet points. And so we've come up with some bullet points to help explain the breadth of what Calvin was trying to teach. And there's some good points of it. I think they focus on the sovereignty of God. They're
right.
grace-minded. But then they're very much on this idea that God elected some for salvation, and he elected some for damnation, and so that was God's choice. And if you've been elected for damnation, that's just the way it is.
It's so much coincidence that right now, you know, the pastor in there he's going through Romans chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, George, here's what I would encourage you to do. as I would challenge you to read through Romans 9, 10, and 11. That's fertile soil for the Calvinist. That's where they
right.
pick most of their verses out of and really support their doctrine. But look at
yeah.
it in
yeah.
context, because in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul is talking about Jews and Gentiles. So he's talking about people groups. The Jews
right.
thought they were God's chosen people. And now when Jesus came along, the Jews
yeah.
rejected him. They were put on a back burner. The gospel message went out to the Gentiles. This was all part of God's plan. And at a point in
yeah.
time, he's going to circle back to the Jewish people, and they're going to be able to see Jesus for who he really is, their Messiah. So this was all part of God's plan, and what was predestined was that Gentiles would receive Christ in exactly the same way the Jews would, that salvation would go to both, and that both people would come together and make up one new man. That's called the body of Christ, the temple.
Right.
That's
right.
going to be God's dwelling place. So look at it in terms of context. And I think when you see it in terms of Jew and Gentile, everything falls into place, and it becomes a doctrine of unity rather than one of division.
And, Bob, you know, the other thing I think is so striking, it's amazing that that's the passage that Calvinists will always look to, because when you look into the passage, you actually see people that are making decisions to believe, and then if they do, they are grafted into the family of God. And then there are Jewish people who, if they reject the Messiah, they are broken off, and Gentiles are put in their place. And then it says, so whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so right there in the middle of Romans 9, 10, and 11, we've got this message of whosoever. And yet that very same passage sometimes can be misunderstood, and we teach the opposite, that it's individual selection and that only few are chosen. Paul is saying, no, God's calling the shots here, and he's letting the Gentiles in. He's letting the Gentiles in, and therefore whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a unifying message.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I've been there about 2 years, me and my wife, and I'm thinking of just, you know, leaving. I'm wondering if I, because they're always promoting themselves. You know, they tell a person who they're debating, you know, during the Bible study, well, I'm a Calvinist.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Calvinist, you know, and
well, that's not going to get you into, that's not going to get you into heaven. We love these labels,
no,
but none of those things matter at all to God. He's just looking at us as whether or not we're children of God. Or not,
right,
and
that's
the deal.
Yeah.
Well, George,
right, you know, you're,
let the Spirit of God lead you as far as what to do there in the
right.
church.
Yeah.
And I think if you'll trust Him, you will find out what you need to do there. Okay, George.
Okay, brother. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Let's go down to McAllen, Texas, and talk with Robert, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Robert.
How you doing, guys?
Doing fine.
Yeah, I had a question about I'm a born again believer. I love the show, and this topic of in and out of fellowship comes up at my church that I attend, a Baptist church, and I'm not really down with that, because you know I believe that the Bible talks about a union, that we're in union with Christ, and I'm in Him and He's in me, and you know, gone are the days where I messed up, you know, oh there goes the mm-hmm. Spirit, you know, that's Old Testament. And New Testament, if I'm correct, once you receive Christ, He fills you with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we still sin and we still mess up, but that Spirit is not going to leave me. It's going to stay with me, you know, because of that union, because of that fellowship. Not because of my faithfulness, but because of His faithfulness.
Yeah.
And is there a way to, it just kind of bothers me sometimes when, you know, people are talking about, they're more sin-focused instead of Christ-focused. And I think a lot of people struggle with that, that, you know, we may be on the same topic and agree on a lot of basic principles of the Christian faith, but when it comes to sin and, you know, a sense of a roller coaster of in and out of fellowship and, mm-hmm. I'm on God's bad side and, there's no communication, the lines are clogged up, it's up to me to get back in line with that. And I know they
yeah.
get that from 1 John 1:9, but mm-hmm. I mean, what's your take on that? I see it as a real problem in the church today, you know.
Yeah, my take on that is that, you know, first of all, the folks who are teaching that you go out of fellowship, they're combating one idea, and that's a good thing to combat. I mean, they're combating the idea that you're just going to sin and that everything is hunky-dory and everything is okay and there's no consequences to sin. You know, all of that, of course, is false. There are consequences to sin. There are earthly consequences. But falling out of fellowship is not one of those consequences. God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So the last thing we should be doing is hijacking the fellowship. And I'm afraid that that's what a lot of Christian teaching does, is it hijacks the fellowship. And it says, when you shape up, you'll be back in fellowship. Well, fellowship is never used that way. I mean, the biggest evidence is just go to BibleGateway.com if you want and plug in the word fellowship and do a study on fellowship. And you never, ever find a Christian going in and out and in and out of fellowship. So while a lot of people are lining up to eat that food, the in and out fellowship, the in and out burger, like they have out in California there's no in and out with God. You know, the reality is that we're invited to eat of the gospel, and it proclaims, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you are faithless, I remain faithful. And so, you know, I think, though, in communicating this message, you've just got to be accurate with people. You want to start off maybe this way. Say, look, I know when we sin that we are not expressing Christ. And I know when we sin that, you know, the God's Spirit can be grieved over what's happening, not angry, but grieved, concerned. But we're not falling out of fellowship. He's with us. He's in us. In fact, if he weren't in us, how in the world would we ever escape sin to begin with?
Exactly. And I like the analogy that when I first heard it and brought to light to my mind was the way Bob George would explain it. He would say, it's like if God's holding up a big mirror and saying, Bob, look up here. What do you see? Well, I see a butterfly, Lord. Why are you acting like a worm? You know, it's just not consistent with who we are in our new creation. And we see sin as being stupid. And, you know, but sometimes, like I said, I see the church being more sin-focused instead of Christ-focused. And, man, when you're Christ-focused, you appreciate the grace and, you know, it's all about him and what he's done. And you confess, you agree with God regarding your sin, but also in regards to the finished work on the cross. And it just puts things in perspective, you know. But
Well, Robert, it's a great question, and I've always kind of liked to put it this way: if you're saved, you're in the fellowship. If you're not saved, you're not in the fellowship. So that's I think the Word of God really equates those, that salvation means you're in fellowship, which means you're in the light. If you're lost, you're not in the fellowship, which means you're in the dark. So it's as black and white as that. It's very, very clear. Well, we sure appreciate your call today. Thanks for joining us on Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Sorry we couldn't get to everyone's call, but I hope that you will call early in the broadcast tomorrow. We'd love to take your call and answer your question as well. And thanks to everybody for being a part of this one. Thanks to all those of you who stand with us to present this life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through this ministry we call Basic Gospel. This month, we're offering an exciting new resource, our latest Bible study series called The New Covenant Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Go online to basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time, the New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Hey, be sure to check our website also for information on our upcoming Bible conference, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area. That's at stand2014.net. That's the website. Go get the information and make your plans now to be a part of it. It's going to be a very, very special time. You know, the resources we mentioned on this broadcast are available to aid your understanding of the Christian life, and you can find them when you visit store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. And if what you're hearing on this broadcast resonates with you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.